listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. I'm very, very excited to have the opportunity to chat with Mr. Mike Curtis, strength and conditioning coach for University of Virginia Athletics, in particular their basketball program. And I know Mike is very, very pleased, like the Wahoo Nation, to have that national championship. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Debbie, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Obviously, just coming off of a whirlwind weekend and a little bit emotionally and physically drained, but excited to be able to talk with you today.
Can you tell us where it all started? I know you were born and raised in the Richmond area, and if you ever saw yourself at this level, NCAA Division I basketball coach and trainer.
Well, obviously, it started in Richmond, and I was lucky enough to have two great parents that fostered a great experience for me as a young child, and then obviously a high schooler, and then moving on to the University of Virginia as a student athlete. But in many ways, as it relates to my career and profession, it's come full circle at the University of Virginia. As a student, I was an undergrad in sports medicine, pre-physical therapy, and that's where my passion and interest in the medical side of things kind of began, and then stayed there for a master's degree in exercise physiology, and that's where the performance side of things became a passion for me as well. So those two things in combination have lend themselves well to the position that I'm currently in. You know, I don't know that I ever thought that I was going to be doing the job that I'm doing now early on, but I know during the 6 years that I was undergrad and a graduate student that these two passions and callings were being fostered during my time there as both a student and an athlete.
Well, I know many, many student athletes struggle with trying to do really well in their books and then perform at a high level as well. So you certainly had a good balance going and a good way to integrate both. And certainly being in a field where you can take what you're learning in the classroom and actually apply it that afternoon in practice and in games.
No, it's been a beautiful marriage of those two things. You know, I've been able to take those lessons, those mistakes, and those things that are both associated with just the academic side and the sport as well, and try to figure out how to best serve the student athletes that I'm able to work with now. So it's been a beautiful journey and something that I've been thankful for that I've been able to do this for now for 20 some odd years and continue to grow in this profession and try to find ways to give, you know, the young men and women that I work with a better opportunity to be successful in both sport and life.
Mike, did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
I mean, there's been a few. You know, one of them I get a chance to work with right now, who's our director of sports medicine, and that's Ethan Saliba. So, you know, during my undergraduate years, he was both a mentor of mine in the academic world, but also our trainer for the basketball team during those years that I played. And he was a tremendous person in terms of just his reservoir of knowledge. And in addition to that, he just served as a person who was a great model in terms of just how to treat people and interact with people, because he is one of the best human beings that I've also been able to be able to be around. But along the way, I've also had people like Al Vermeil, who was the Chicago Bulls strength and conditioning coach, a guy named Tony Decker, who was a strength and conditioning coach at the University of Virginia during my time as a graduate student, who helped to continue to pique my interest in how to help athletes perform at a higher level. Those three guys, you know, stand out for me. But at the end of the day, like I still have to go back to my mother and father, who are tremendously hard workers who persevered through many things throughout their lives and have shared those lessons and stories along with me to kind of help shape my work ethic that I have now.
Well, sounds like you're certainly someone who not only works hard but works smart. And I will definitely underscore Ethan. He's been a wonderful, wonderful leader at UVA in the athletics world and also just a kind gentleman. I know whenever I visit or whenever I see him, he's always ready to give me a hug and do a catch-up on our lives. So that's wonderful that you get to do that and work with someone that you really, really enjoy as a friend as well. Now, working in the sport industry, it's definitely, definitely very, very competitive, and especially in your space, with all the stuff that's coming out now, advances in technology, new ways to do things, people are trying stuff. What drives you? What keeps you going each and every day?
Well, I've always been a competitive person, and that competitiveness lends itself to what I do professionally. So I would want to be, the best strength conditioning professional, human performance professional in the country, in the world, you know, so that competitiveness drives me every day. You know, in addition to that, it's, you know, what I have in terms of opportunity to serve these young men and women every day and give them opportunity to experience what I got to experience as a student athlete, and hopefully better prepare them to have more success than I had. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's, I would say, you use the word competitive field, but it's the competitiveness that I have within me that drives me to try to be better at what I do every day. In addition to just, you know, loving the fact that I can be impactful during this journey for a lot of these student athletes who come through here at the University of Virginia.
Well, I know competition is something that I've always denied, that I wasn't that very competitive, but I've learned over the years that I am highly, highly competitive. But sometimes you have to escape, right? So I found, you know, reading good books and even watching stupid television shows now, I used to kind of look at people and say, how could you watch that show that's so mindless? But now I understand it's a good escape. Do you have any particular books or TV shows that you enjoy?
I mean, most of my reading is profession related, unfortunately. There are some things that I do from a leisure standpoint.
So you're not into Game of Thrones and all that?
No, I'm not into those things. I have two young boys, one about to be four and the other 19 months, that take up a lot of my time outside of work. And those are the two things that keep perspective in life for me, is when I can leave the grind of college athletics to just be able to spend time with those two guys. It's another thing that drives me. You know, I want to make them proud, but they're the two people who also inspire me and make me laugh and make me cry. Just seeing how they're going through their developmental milestones in their lives at this point. So, not too much in the way of TV shows, because everything I pretty much watch is on PBS. yeah, books. A lot of those are just more profession related. And I've also started a little bit of coursework toward a PhD, so a lot of my
Excellent.
Reading and time is spent in that realm, not so much anything that's leisurely.
Well, certainly I know your children will find you to be a great role model, all the things that you're teaching them right now at a young age. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman on 97.9 The Hill. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. We are talking to Mike Curtis, the strength and conditioning coach and human performance trainer at the University of Virginia. Mike, tell us more about this year's UVA basketball season. What an amazing run. What are your highlights from the team this year?
There's so many. I don't know that I can recount them all, but every day was a true testament to the grit and perseverance that these kids have. You know, there's obviously the improbable wins that we've had throughout this tournament, but it's the inputs every day that these kids put in terms of their ability to show perseverance and passion for this pursuit that we had this year, that was to try to win a national championship. You know, and a lot of people have used the word redemption, but I don't know that that is what drove our kids. You know, every day they just tried to show up and have fun with each other and enjoy this journey and this process. And I think that's the thing that resonates with me the most, is, you know, these guys just showed up every day with a passion and joy to be with each other and compete. And I think that is what helped us in terms of what the final outcome was, which is a national championship.
Some people have said that Virginia this year epitomized good guys do finish first. Do you like that thought, that you all are considered the good guys? I know that watching professional teams in particular, it's important to have that one bad guy on the team that will give those hard fouls and, you know, get up in your face and all of that. And maybe Jack Salt was that, or even Diakite. But do you believe that this is an example of good guys finishing first?
I do. And I think it's a true reflection of who our leader is in Tony Bennett. And, you know, I've been in this profession for a while. I've worked in professional sports. I've worked in collegiate sports. And, you know, I can't say that I've had the opportunity or found a better human being than Tony Bennett. And this team is a reflection of that. And it's been such an experience, a wonderful experience for me to have worked for him for the last 10 years, that I think that when you look at our program and you look at everything that he embodies and what our pillars are, it is a true statement of the good guys can finish first.
How about if you tell us how you all met?
So, oddly enough, I was finishing my tenure in professional sports with the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, I had wanted to do something a little different and be a little bit more impactful in a collegiate setting. Was that? And John Beilein, who's at the University of Michigan, and I had developed a relationship while I was with the Memphis Grizzlies, and he had taken over Michigan and wanted to make a change in his strength and conditioning department, and hired me. And oddly enough, there was a speaking engagement that took place during a camp. And myself and Dick Bennett were speakers during that camp. And I guess Dick Bennett liked what I had to say about my perspective in terms of training basketball players. He shared that with Tony. And oddly enough, Tony gets the job to come to Virginia a few months later.
Wow.
And has the opportunity to hire a strength and conditioning coach. And I get a phone call to come back home and work with Tony, and it's been an amazing ride thus far.
Well, certainly you two are definitely a good tag team. It takes a lot to put together a program, and I definitely emphasize program. This is just a one-year wonder, especially for those who are in the ACC territory and follow ACC basketball. You and Tony Bennett and the other coaches and staff have really done a remarkable job of bringing the brand back of UVA basketball as being one of the top in the country and also leading a very, very competitive conference. Now, you mentioned the five pillars. They are humility, passion, unity, servanthood, and thankfulness. And I think each one of those pillars is very, very powerful in itself, but very glad to see that it's done in a package. And you can use those pillars each and every day in your work when you're pushing the young men to be better. Can you tell us one or two lessons that you've learned about being a successful strength and conditioning coach? As in, some people feel you keep driving them, and you don't necessarily have to be their friend. And then others feel that you need to be close to them and feel their emotions and bond with them more. Do you have one particular style over another?
I think it's a hybrid of both of those things. I think every individual and every young man or woman that I work with is different. So I have to approach the psychology with which I work with them differently. And there are some people who can take, a certain style of coaching and others who can't. But at the end of the day, I think the thing that I've learned is that every one of these kids wants to know that you're invested in their development and who they are as people. And first and foremost, that's what they have to perceive in your interactions with them and how you work with them. And from there, you can find what is the most effective strategy to elicit results and productivity out of those individual athletes. But every one of them I have a little bit different relationship with, and it's, you know, me trying to get to know them and what will best be the way that I can communicate with them and coach them in such a way that it brings out the best in them. So, you know, it's a lot more than just picking one style, you know, but at the end of the day, that I think us educating them on what our training process is and how that will allow them to be better athletes, in addition to them knowing that we and I care about them, is the approach that I subscribe to.
Well, that definitely works. Now, analytics have definitely advanced. There's a lot out there. I've had the opportunity to meet John Carter with NOAA Basketball, and I know that's a part of UVA's program. Are there any particular analytics or new technologies that you're fond of?
Well, those things that are part of, I'm pretty much the key stakeholder for those things are just, workload management, looking at external and internal loads and those things that are imposed on our athletes by our training process. So we use accelerometry in the form of Catapult to kind of track what the biomechanical loads are for each one of our athletes. We also use heart rate just to look at internal loads. But in addition to that, there's a follow-up with subjective questionnaires and me just having conversations with our athletes to try to take inventory of all those things that are stressful inputs for our athletes. And with that, much of that information is used to drive and shape the way that we practice, the way that we play. Tony has been phenomenal in terms of taking that information that I've been able to collect and look at and find the best training exposure based on the levels, athlete's level of readiness, so that hopefully on game days we're optimally ready to perform. So the last 5 years we have continued to dive a little bit deeper into what this information is telling us so that we can better prescribe our training. And it's one of the reasons that I'm also doing this PhD now, so that I become a better sports scientist. Strength and conditioning has always been something that, the reps and sets part of it I've been pretty good at, but more so than anything, my role here has evolved into a little bit of an ecosystem manager, which that data has to play a key role in what my conversations are with Tony in terms of how we structure our training for competition.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman and Mike Curtis, strength and conditioning coach for the national champions, University of Virginia men's basketball. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. I'm excited to have Mr. Mike Curtis with us. He is the strength and conditioning coach and human performance trainer for the University of Virginia Athletics Department. Mike, are there any sport leaders that people would be surprised to know that you greatly respect and admire?
The one person who comes to mind is the guy that I have to work with every day, and that's Tony Bennett. Just my observations of him and what he has done here at the university in terms of leadership of young men stands out above anything that I possibly could have read, looked at, because you can read John Wooden books, you can look at some of those organizational, psychology books, other things like that, leadership books, but the ability to observe the way that he has built this program and his interactions with our young men stands out for me just because I've been able to do that firsthand. In addition to that, I don't want to forget him as well, but Jerry West was someone that I had an opportunity to work for in Memphis, and he was another person who did a tremendous job in terms of building organizations and leading young people in such a way that was always positive in nature. I've had two great lessons from those two men, but the one who sits atop right now has been Tony Bennett and what I've been able to observe and be able to work with the last 10 years.
Well, if you weren't developing young talent, whose job outside of sports would you love to have?
When I originally came to the University of Virginia, I originally thought that I wanted to be an architect. So I think there are still some remnants of that passion for me. And I think if I were doing anything else, like I love to build things, I love to tinker and try to figure out projects that relate to like building structures. So I think if there's anything that I'd be doing outside of this, it'd be maybe an architect.
Are you a handyman around the house?
I try to be. There's a little bit more learning that needs to take place for me in terms of some of the things that I need to do to construct certain things, but I do take on projects. Some of them turn out better than others, but I do enjoy that.
Well, when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching the Wahoos play, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
I just want them to remember that I was a guy who bled orange and blue. I'm a Wahoo through and through. And during my time and career here, I was absolutely and totally invested in the lives of the young men and women that I had the opportunity to work with. And my purpose for them and for myself was to try to give them a greater opportunity to be successful, you know, in sport, but also in life. You know, that's one of the reasons I've continued to work in collegiate sport, is that it allows me the opportunity to be impactful in their lives and help build better people, not just athletes. So I hope that's what people will remember me as during my time here at the University of Virginia.
Well, thank you so much. You do it very, very well. And again, congratulations. Just a wonderful season, but also wonderful 10 years with the University of Virginia. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman.